that referred to me as my boss. Well, that's naturally
quite accurate. I more often it's the reverse. We are all underneath Bernadette as our executive director because she and Sarah, who came up also from the station, are our eyes and ears in the community from our world headquarters in Brecksville and Broadview Heights up the street. Anyway, when asked to give a talk about or speech about running a radio station, my initial reaction was no. First of all, I don't like giving speeches, and I don't really know anything about running a radio station. That was certainly the case back in 2013 when we originally got together, although we're learning the ropes, and we now know a lot more than we did then. So rather than give a speech, I'd like to have a conversation, and I'm therefore going to leave a lot of room at the end for questions and answers. So if anything comes to mind, please do jot it down or raise your hand when that time comes. So I am prepared to have a conversation about lay apostolate, because that is what St. Peter the Rock Media is. And an apostolate, of course, comes from the word apostle. There were originally 12, or 13 if you count St. Paul, or 14 if you add St. Barnabas, but you know who I'm talking about. People directly commissioned by our Lord Jesus himself to go to the corners of the earth and spread the good news of the salvation of mankind from the slavery of sin and death. That extends down to all of us today as lay people. In fact, you know, 2 days from now it will be the Feast of Pentecost, which was, you could say, the birthday of the church, when a group of timid and doubtful men and the disciples around them were infused with the power of the Holy Spirit and shed all fear and all sense of delay or misgiving and got up and converted by the thousands, literally, we know from the Acts of the Apostles, with the preaching that they gave, and then paid for it, their witness in blood in all parts of the known world at that time. So far, living in a free society as we do, none of us has been called upon to do that. But that is the nature of apostolate, to get up and go when called. The story of AM 1260, The Rock, begins in 1981 when Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation, who many of you know grew up in Canton, Ohio, a cloistered Poor Clare nun who had been living in the suburbs of Birmingham, Alabama with her community since about 1961, 20 years later in 81, founded the Eternal Word Television Network. Went on the air for the first time on the Feast of the Assumption, August the 15th, 1981, by the grace of God. And her story is well known. There's a very real sense in which Mother Angelica founded AM 1260 The Rock, as well as AM 1060 down the road in Canton, our partner station that you're familiar with, I'm sure, and all Catholic radio stations, because before Mother, there was no such thing. There had been attempts at it, but they couldn't quite keep their wings in the air until the EWTN radio network came along. As a matter of fact, free to the first six people who are interested is Raymond Arroyo's by now rather famous 2005 biography of Mother Angelica, the remarkable story of a nun, her nerve, and a network of miracles. It's a mind-opening book. If you're not familiar with it, I urge you to read it, because if you understand Mother, and if you understand the network that she founded, it makes it a lot easier to understand the phenomenon of Catholic radio and our station as well as part of that. So I'm going to leave them right here. And So a group of, a large group of people, many dozens of people in the Cleveland area were longtime viewers of the Eternal Word television network. And if you're familiar with the network, you're going to relate to this. It changed their lives, and I'm one of those people. It helped them revert to the faith, or in some cases convert to the Catholic faith, but it strengthened us, and it helped us, and it helped our families, and we were very grateful for it. So grateful that we wanted to express that in some way, our gratitude to God for the gift of EWTN and the clarity with which it presented the faith back to us in a way that we hadn't really heard since our childhood, in a tangible, concrete way. So we wanted to give it to the whole community, not just our families and friends, but to all comers along the path of life within our local region. So it was primarily gratitude that was the seed of it, and admiration for the tenacity of Mother Angelica, which becomes very clear when you read her story. Problem, though, was we didn't know each other. We were all over the place, and there were several of us all around Cuyahoga County, Summit County, Lake County, Medina County, and in the region, and we didn't know who we were, each other were. And it took a little bit of help, actually, from Alabama, because they knew down there in Irondale, which is the Birmingham suburb where the network is headquartered, they knew, not only in Cleveland, but in lots of cities, who their most, I might say, loyal or at least motivated viewers and volunteers were located. And there already was an EWTN network radio station in Columbus, Ohio, that had been going for quite some time, since the early 2000s, called St. Gabriel Radio. They operate AM 820 in Columbus. So if you're ever driving through the Columbus area, tune into AM 820 and for local Catholic radio there. So Alabama called Columbus and urged them to send the word out through the Cleveland area that a meeting would take place, and anybody interested in getting Catholic radio on the air from Cleveland, on the ground from Cleveland, should come. And so we did. And on a rainy November night in November of the year 2013, I think it was the Holiday Inn in Strongsville, a group of about 70 or so people showed up to hear a discussion led by our very dear friend and one of our founding board members, Mr. Bill Messerly of Columbus, who is the executive director of AM 820, and a couple of members of his team from AM 820, to present the proposition of founding a local Catholic radio station. That was, as I said, November. And then over the course of the next few months, many meetings were had. The second meeting had maybe 50 people. And the third meeting maybe had, 25 people. And with each successive meeting, the crowd got a little bit smaller. But we noticed that the same core group of people kept showing up at each one of them. And finally, around January or February of the year, we looked around that table and we said, you know what? We need to form a company. I think we have a board here. And so we did. And we incorporated as St. Peter the Rock Media, a nonprofit Ohio corporation, on February the 22nd in the year 2014. That happens to be the feast of the Chair of St. Peter on our Catholic liturgical calendar. And so naturally, St. Peter had to be in our name, St. Peter the Rock Media. St. Peter, because the Sea of Peter is, as by the intention of our Lord Jesus Christ, the seat of the teaching authority of the church that he founded on earth to this day, and it always will be. And we wanted to recognize that in a very outward way with our name because of the identity of our mission to present, you know, nothing but solid Catholic programming 24/7. We needed to anchor ourselves to St. Peter. The Rock, there are differing recollections about how Rock got in our name. Certainly, St. Peter is the Rock. In fact, our Lord called him that. He said, "You are Rock, and on this Rock I found my church." Also, we were trying to tap into the fact that in the popular mind, the city of Cleveland and her culture over the last many decades has been associated with rock and roll music. And so we thought that was a good way to sort of tie it in. And media, because we, even though our plan was to simply put one AM or FM radio station on the air, we had, you know, grand visions of someday having an empire similar to the EWTN network, so why foreclose that? Put media in your name because, you know, it signals our intent to broaden out into all manner of media as and when our resources enable us to do that. We're still working on that first AM radio station, though. We're still perfecting it day by day. We don't have a second one, but we do have a great website. We have a great Facebook page. We have an app for your iPhone. We have an app for your Android. We can reach you in all of those ways. You can hear our programming in addition to your radio on all of those devices. I'm not sure if anyone remembers what they look like, but of course this is a radio. It comes in very strong here in Northern Summit County. Praise God. We're very grateful for that. And it goes as far west as about maybe Sheffield, and as far east as Eastlake, Wycliffe, Mentor, and as far south as the middle of Summit County. What motivated us to finally get off the ground was our realization that there had been Catholic radio serving this region for a decade or more. I'm referring to AM 1060, our partners in the apostolate there. They could reach some of Cleveland some of the time. We were very anxious to get something that could reach all of Cleveland all of the time. And you can only do that from transmission located in Cuyahoga County. And so that was what was behind that. So then we were off to the races. And in the spring of 2014, we started to get serious about finding a radio asset on which to take over and to convert to Catholic radio. We hired a broker who specializes in the radio industry to, you know, identify potential deals and opportunities. And lo and behold, providentially, Disney Corporation announced in the summer of 2014 that they were going to put their Cleveland property up for sale. Disney owned AM 1260. Radio Disney, which at that time was a pop music station aimed at teenagers, and they put it up for sale right around the time when we were going out to market to try to find one. Now let me pause there over the providential aspect of that. Our founders are lay people. We are, none of us had been a radio operator. We all came with our own particular skill sets. We had, I'm an attorney, and there was also another attorney on our founding board. We had an engineer, a rocket scientist actually, literally. We had an entrepreneur. We had a marketing expert. We had our co-founder Dick Russ, whose name many of you know, a journalist and broadcaster. We had all of these little disciplines that all of which are needed to pull together an operation like this, but no radio experience and no money. And yet, here we are on the air. We pulled it together, and if there were ever any doubt in any of our minds as to whether or not this was a work of God, something that God put here, God wanted here, all we have to do is recall the fact that we had none of the innate skills that it takes to do this. All we needed is a push from the Holy Spirit and a willingness to listen and cooperate. Columbus came along when they did. The skill set around that founding table had all of the elements in it that were needed to complete a transaction, buy a station, plug it in technically, you know, get it up and running, make it sound legitimate with a legitimate media sound and presence, all of those things, and it just goes to us, goes down to us as proof that this is our Lord's operation fundamentally, and I think we generally believe that this apostolate will stay on the air for as long as God wants it to, and then maybe for 15 minutes after that, and it'll go away. Because it was He who put it here; it's His station, and we have to, we remind ourselves of that every day. So, getting back to the story, we identified the station and negotiated with Disney beginning in the fall of 2014. Another team member came along in the form of our attorney, our FCC specialist attorney, a gentleman who practices in Northern Virginia, who knows how to get a Catholic radio station up and running, had done a few. He helped us immensely through the process. And so finally, on Christmas Eve, December the 24th in 2014, we signed that agreement with Disney to buy AM 1260, which was then WWMK, and we put down our deposit, and then we looked around and realized, okay, now all we have to do is come up with $1 million. Does anyone have an idea? So so we spent the course of the first few months of 2015 on a parallel track, raising the funds necessary to complete the purchase from Disney, and at the same time ushering that sale transaction through, because there are many layers of FCC approval and so forth that are necessary to take control of a public broadcasting radio station and change ownership and management. So we were doing all that on parallel tracks during January, February, March, April of 2015. And our Lord, we like to say that our Lord is, He's never late, but seldom early. Never late, seldom early. And if I like to compare it to one of these episodes from Mother Angelica's life when she was founding the EWTN television network. If you're familiar with the book, you know the one I'm talking about. It's about the day that her $600,000 satellite dish arrived on the back of a flatbed truck, and she had no money with which to pay it, and it had arrived COD. I'm not going to spoil it for you because I want you to read the story, but suffice to say, at the end of the day, they unloaded that dish, and things moved forward, and the network became a reality within a few months after that. We had nothing quite that dramatic, but we did have, along the way, in the first half of 2015, several very providential experiences where our Lord, who is never late but seldom early, showed up with the resources that it took to finally complete that transaction with Disney. And we closed it on a Monday in May 4th, 2015, which is personally satisfying to me because for two reasons. First of all, it's my and my wife Colleen's wedding anniversary, May 4th. But also, so I was a little busy that day, I'm not sure if we went to dinner that night or not. But the other thing is, I've always had a long devotion to the Shroud of Turin. And in the local diocese of Turin in Italy, May 4th is the feast day of the Shroud. Little tidbit. You pick up things like that listening to Catholic radio all the time. So we went dark for a week. That means we unplugged the equipment literally, and we had as part of the operational setup phase in those first few months of the year, we leased space, and we were fortunate to find space just down the block in the same building under the same roof actually, as the place where Disney had been operating this station. So we leased that space, and we literally walked the equipment down the sidewalk to our space, plugged it in with the help of a team of people, mostly from experts from St. Gabriel Radio in Columbus, who told us, you know, the best way to get it up and running quickly, plugged it back in, did our testing, and turned it all back on again on Monday, the 11th of May in 2015. We were on pins and needles. We're pretty sure it was going to work, but no one knew for sure. And then, starting about 2 in the afternoon, if you had turned on your radio and you had tuned it to AM 1260, you would have heard that, just random noise. But then, suddenly, at 2 o'clock, the random noise went to silence. You were no longer listening to static. You were listening to a live signal. It was silent. It was like a carpet of silence, and it lasted for an hour. And we got our palms got clammy, and we were, as I said, on pins and needles, emailing all of our friends, pray for this. You know, please help keep this on the road. The many prayers went up to St. Michael, the Archangel, that afternoon. And then, on schedule at 3 p.m., the switch was flipped, the signal went live, and suddenly you're hearing a station ID. This is WCCR Cleveland AM 1260 The Rock. And then we went right into the program that has been our weekday 3 p.m. program for these past 4.5 years now, the Chapel of Divine Mercy, which you hear on The Rock every afternoon at 3. In gratitude to God for pulling all of that together, I don't think we'll ever move the chaplet away from 3 p.m. on weekdays. It's just a way to thank him for the protection that he gave us. And so we were up and running, and then off to the races again. We have been growing ever since. We have a total of only 4 employees, and they're not all full-time. We're very conscientious stewards of the gifts and resources that our donors provide for us. We use it all as wisely as we can. We make every cent count. And I have to say that we depend, and always have from the beginning, depended on a large army of several dozen core volunteers who are very loyal to the mission of The Rock. Some of them are here in the room today. And without the help of this volunteer corps, we never could have gotten it going and kept it going. The volunteers help us with many of our operations from day to day, and our community outreaches, such as visiting parishes, operating our spirit drives, which is what we call our on-air fun drives that we do twice each year, and in many other ways. And we're very grateful to the volunteer corps that our Lord has put in our path. We serve each other, and we recognize their contribution all the time as gratefully as we can. And I should mention we go on the air twice a year to increase our funding base. What keeps our Catholic radio station on the air is what keeps most of them, practically all of them, I think, on the air, and that is listener support. We do not make earn a significant amount of operating income from advertisements. We can run them when we do run them, and it actually is growing, but it's not the core of our support. It's the local listeners giving $20 a month, sometimes $20 a year, but you know, the sustaining members that we call them, who give us at the levels of $25 a month, $50 a month sometimes, as well as our business members. A business member is a local business owner who is grateful that The Rock is here and wants to associate their business with the success of their business with the success of the radio station, and we recognize them with business mentions, you know, a couple of times each week all throughout the year. If you are a business owner, please remember that term business member and talk to me or talk to Bernadette after the talk today, and we'd be happy to tell you more about that. But that's what keeps it going. Now, we do ask for and receive larger gifts all the time, and we do depend on them because special projects and needs come up, and we have one of those right now that involves improving our signal by replacing equipment and kind of putting a trampoline underneath our AM 1260 signal to continue reaching, you know, the limits of our FCC license. That's an initiative that we're now working on and planning. And a lot of we urge a lot of people, everyone in fact, including everyone in this room, remember us in your own estate plan, in your will. Many Catholic radio stations and Catholic apostles at large depend on support like that as well. That's another thing. If you want to inquire about, I'd be happy to visit with you, and Bernadette would be happy to visit with you about the opportunity to support Catholic radio in that way. So we're making it. You might say $25 at a time. We're a lay-run organization. That means we're a lay board, and we're people working in the world. We are spouses. We are parents. We are workers. We are business owners or employees or both. We did not leave our day jobs to undertake this, but we are answering what we feel to be the call of the Holy Spirit that He placed on our hearts back those 6 years ago now, to get this operation underway. We're the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. We decided that we needed to do more than simply talk about and appreciate our faith, but actually get up and do something with it. And our Lord placed it on our hearts, and so we did. It's the laity in this day and age, especially with all of the scandals and troubles that we hear about every day going on inside the church, it's the laity who are going to keep alive the idea of the necessity of transmitting the faith to the next generation and stick to our knitting as Catholics, I do believe. I'd like to draw a lot of parallels between what's going on with Catholic radio around the country and around the world with ancient Rome. It was, now certainly the church has always had a hierarchy. Our Lord Jesus intended that. He instituted it himself. And the hierarchy has been there from the very beginning. But the point of it all, though, is to save souls, all souls. Only a few of whom will ever be called to the priesthood or the religious life. Our Lord wants us to, as you know, to carry out the gospel in our everyday lives and according to our state in life. And our state in life is we're lay people. And such was the case also in ancient Rome. A poor itinerant Galilean carpenter conquer what was then the most powerful empire that the world had ever known in the space of only about 300 years. Well, he did it through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the lay people, they who received the message and accepted it joyfully and clung to it even in the face of fierce persecution. Remember, it was illegal to be a Christian in those days. You could be killed on sight. And they would round, you know, every once in a while a persecution would arise and they'd round them up and they would interrogate them, they would threaten them, and they'd finally feed them to the lions, or worse, for their own entertainment. And yet they kept growing and growing and growing. That's because lay people were actually living the faith, and we were joyfully transformed by it, and were passing it along to each other. See how they love one another is the expression from the ancient church fathers and from the apostolic letters. See how they love one another. And so it's that person-to-person lay contact that that really spreads the faith. And I think one of the things that intrigues people about Catholic radio is that it's mostly lay people speaking to them over the radio about the faith. Stop and think for a minute about how unusual that can really be in today's world, to encounter a lay person who not only is willing to talk about God or talk about the faith, but also knows what they're talking about, and can explain the truths of our faith confidently. Catholic radio helps everyone to do that. It gives them the willingness to be known to their friends and family as a Catholic, and as a Catholic who takes the faith seriously enough not only to live it in their state in life, but also to share it with others. That's to a lot of people, that's like the sun rising in the West, because they never encounter confident, intelligent lay Catholics who are willing to talk about their faith. And so when they're cruising the dial, they hear it, they stop, and they linger over it, and then they keep coming back. And before long, after just a few months of being a regular listener, he too or she too is becoming a confident apostle for the Catholic faith, getting reintroduced to it, going back to confession maybe for the first time in decades, going back to Mass once every Sunday at least, on a regular basis, looking around at the furniture of their lives and rearranging it to conform it to the demands of authentic Catholic teaching. Catholic radio, along with EWTN radio, I'm sorry, EWTN television, has been doing that now for 37 and a half years. And please God, may it continue until the second coming. But it's important that it remain a lay apostolate because of, I suppose, I might say, the credibility factor. When you're being catechized or encouraged in the faith by another lay person, you're more ready to trust the messenger and believe the authenticity of the message, because here's somebody who's actually trying to live it out. They're similarly situated to me, and so forth. So those are some of the reasons why it works. I also wanted to make the point that we, as lay people, we don't need permission to spread the faith. We don't need permission to go out and raise money and buy radio stations, or TV stations, for that matter. In fact, to the contrary, not only do we not need permission, we're actually commanded to do it. It's not really an option. Now, not everyone's required or even called to go into broadcasting, but to do to listen to the Holy Spirit and wait to see what he places on your heart, and then get up and go do it. This is what he did for the founders of St. Peter the Rock Media, and that's what we've been trying to carry through with for these last almost 5 years on the air now. Four, I guess we're up to four and a half. Our fifth anniversary will be next May. And our Lord, you know, called a cloistered, he wanted to retake the airwaves, and who does he call but a cloistered nun? Nobody would have bet on that. He didn't call, at least not first, a radio executive from L.A. or New York or any place like that. He called a poor anonymous nun in a backwater town in northern Alabama. Our Lord works in mysterious ways. He exalts the weak to shame the proud and the strong, as Scripture tells us, time and time and time again. Well, what does that say about us? the founders and the broader volunteer community that got us off the ground. We were that way. We were the poor, anonymous, scattered group with no skill set residing in any one of us to do it. But he pulled us together by various different means, and here we are. So we're very grateful for that. If you would like to support Catholic Radio, first keep AM 1260 in your prayers. It takes a lot of prayer to keep it going and to keep us on the rails. Whenever you undertake any kind of apostolate, you become a target for the devil, our enemy, and he will do everything he can to discourage you, distract you, and make you quit. So the spiritual attacks never stop. But we're fortified against them by prayer and the sacraments. So please pray and listen. Do listen. AM 1260 The Rock comes in pretty strong here in northern Summit County. Around the time that we break up today, you'll be listening to one of our strongest programs. It's called The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi, who actually broadcasts live each weekday out of his home studio in Canton, or from the studios of 1060, actually, is where he does a lot of his programs. One of our most popular shows. Turn us on. Set us on one of your presets. And then, please, prayerfully consider becoming a sustaining member. Prayerfully consider becoming a business member, if that fits in with your abilities. Prayerfully consider remembering AM 1260 in your estate plan, and tell your friends. We have bumper magnets and bumper stickers and the rock pens that we pass out liberally for free. Please help yourself. There's a supply of them on the back table. And keep us in your prayers, as I said, so that we can keep this going. A gift to St. Peter the Rock. We are, by the way, of course, a 501c3 tax-exempt charity. Your gifts are tax-deductible. A gift to the Rock is not a gift to Jerry. It's not a gift to Bernadette. It's not a gift to any. It's a gift to Jesus. I say that. That's a kind of a bold statement, but it really is. It's a gift to Jesus Christ, and it's a measure of gratitude back to him for the many graces that occurred in series in order to deliver his message to you over Catholic Radio. We'd like to try to, like St. John the Baptist, whose feast is coming up on the 24th of this month, decrease so that he can increase, and you know, so that when people think of our station, I have to get out of that habit. His station, they think of him, they think of his Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Virgin Mary. They think of the apostles, especially St. Peter, and not any one of us. And it's working so far, and may it continue. That's the end of my points that I wanted to hit. I'm sorry if I ran a little bit too long, but wanted to make sure that there was an opportunity for Q&A. So thank you very much.
for a couple of minutes.
Will do. Thanks.
I want to thank Jerry for his reflections, experiences, and insights into Catholic radio and what we call the new evangelization. Food for thoughts, and of course he put forth some challenges for us too that I hope we will take to heart. Please write down your questions and hold them up in the air so that one of our volunteers can come around and pick them up. While we're doing that, I have some announcements. Our next luncheon will be here Friday, August 2nd. Please note that we are off in the month of July, and it will be a presentation by Father David Halaiko, retired pastor of Nativity of the Lord Jesus and now in residence at St. Vincent de Paul Parish, who will speak about the history of Akron area Catholic churches. If you're listening to the podcast of this on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations by sending a check for $20 to First Friday Club, 795 Russell Avenue, Akron, 44307. You can call our phone number, 330-535-7668, each month to make a reservation, or online using Eventbrite. If you sign up on a monthly basis, let us know by the Tuesday before that you are coming for the Friday talk. Please consider signing up for subscription packages. You can sign up for one more for the rest of this year. We're working on our speaker schedule for next year, and it's almost in place. And it promises to be a good one. Again, Bishop Perez will be back, as well as John Allen in December. If you're not on our mailing list, take time to fill out one of the cards on the table or let us know so that we can get you on our email list. I'd like to do some recognitions. If you are here at First Friday Club for the first time, please stand or wave. I'd like to recognize first-time visitors. And, of course, we encourage and welcome you to come back. I'd also like to recognize board members of the First Friday Club. So, board members, please raise your hand, stand up, wave, so we all know who you are. Now it's my pleasure to First Friday VP and Program Chair William Yoho, who will handle the questions.
Jerry, you want to come on up?
If he feels better pulling this out. If you'd rather pull this out, Jerry, you can do it that way too if you want to.
I just realized you probably couldn't see my face through most of that because I was in. Just as well. We're radio, not TV. Right. A face made for radio, that's what they say.
How many hours a day do you broadcast?
AM 1260 broadcasts 24 hours every day, 365 or 366 days a year. In contrast to some other stations where especially AM stations where their FCC license does not permit them to broadcast overnight. They can come up with the sun, but they have to also go down with the sun. Ours is a 24-hour license, and we run a 24-hour station.
Where does your programming come from?
Our programming comes from outside of Cleveland. It comes from about four or five major program content sources, all of whom are aggregated through the EWTN radio network. A lot of it comes from EWTN, originates out of Irondale, Alabama, or their other broadcasting production locations in the world, including Washington, D.C., a couple of them in Europe. So EWTN, Ave Maria Radio out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, is a big Catholic radio content producer. Catholic Answers out of San Diego, California, is another a big content producer. It's all aggregated through the EWTN network, where it's packaged, promoted, and then distributed by satellite and by internet to affiliate stations like AM 1260. We put AM 1260 on the air as an EWTN affiliate on purpose. There were other choices that we could have had. There are other Catholic radio networks in the world, but the founding group was attached to the spirit, the Franciscan spirituality of Mother Angelica, and the Franciscan spirituality of the order of priests that she founded down in Irondale, Alabama, in the early 90s, and so that was our choice, and we wanted to share it with everybody. And the fact that not much of our programming originates inside of our own studios doesn't really bother us. We'd like to grow it, and as our resources permit over time, we will. But for now, we have a great menu of programming content that we're happy to share, and it's of the very highest quality. It doesn't get higher quality. It's professionally produced by these operations that I was mentioning, and it's the same faith everywhere. The Catholic, you know, Catholic is, means universal, right? It's the same, you know, the same faith everywhere. What Catholics in San Diego or St. Louis or Cleveland or Boston or anywhere else in the world, we have the same hunger for the truth. We have the same struggles. We commit the same sins. We are all hungering for this after the same sacraments. And the teaching of the faith is one. And so the fact that it originates mostly outside of Cleveland, that's why that's not a problem. Because what's interesting to Catholics in one place is interesting to Catholics in all places.
What is your annual budget?
Our annual budget, I could use a little, right. I was going to say four, about 400. 400 large, that is, 000. We have, as I said, only four employees. We have, you know, our regular bills. Our electric bill, obviously, is a big one. It takes a lot of electricity to pump out, 10,000 watts continuously. The rent and the maintenance of our transmission site and equipment, and those sorts of things. But that's our budget.
Do you have any live programming?
The only live programming we currently have are special special on-site broadcasts that we do from time to time. We do, for example, we broadcast the Mass for the ordination of 9 new priests for the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland live from St. John Cathedral downtown in Cleveland. Last month. We do live broadcasts of other special masses, like, for example, Cardinal Arinze came into town 2 years ago and offered Mass at a local parish church. We broadcast that live. Conferences occur, such as the Catholic Men's Conference each year that now takes place on, I think it's February of every year, or in the late winter, from the Rockside 77 corridor there in Independence. We broadcast that, and that's several hours long. There will be a women's conference coming up later this fall. Please ask Bernadette to tell you more about that. It's during the month of October, and I think the plan is that to carry large parts of that women's conference live over the radio. That's the kind of local programming that we do live. We also do as much gap-filling local content as we can, because, you know, at the top of every hour, the middle of every hour, or the bottom of the hour, there are opportunities to put local voices on the air, such as, for example, many of you are familiar now with our chaplain, who is Father Douglas Brown of the Diocese of Cleveland, the pastor of Mary Queen of Peace Church in Cleveland. You hear his voice frequently offering recorded prayers recorded gospel reflections for the Mass of the day and so forth. Other priests, other deacons, other lay people. Those are the opportunities that we're currently taking advantage of to get local voices onto the air. But we still don't have a locally produced, daily, regular, live or recorded show. We did do Time Travel at the Speed of Christ's Light. That was produced out of our studios with Mr. Jim Hogan. You may have heard of that program. That's actually being sent to and picked up by other Catholic radio affiliates around the country. So that was one local piece of programming that we got off the ground with. I hope that answers the question.
Describe some of the fruits from the Rock in the Cleveland Diocese.
Some of the fruits of the Rock in the Cleveland Diocese. Well, we get letters. and listeners tell us all the time how grateful they are to have heard us because it brought them, sometimes brought couples, sometimes whole families into the church who weren't Catholic and they converted. And we don't take credit for that, obviously, but they tell us that we were a catalyst for that or a great help along their path. In reconnecting with their faith and picking up the practice of their faith after perhaps many years away. We have given, I might say, hope to a lot of Catholics in our listening area in the sense that people don't feel as isolated as they may once have felt as Catholics. Now they know there's sort of this central sort of collection point or, you know, attention, focus of attention for Catholics. They might not know who they all are, but they know that they're all listening to the same radio station on their way into work or home from school or what have you. And they're becoming more aware that this community is here and they're not alone. They're also getting, another fruit is they're getting connected with the universal church. There's no such thing as the Cleveland Catholic Church. There's no such thing as the Akron Catholic Church. It's the universal church. There's only one. And over time, you can lose sight of that, but you're constantly hearing through our programming about the fact that we are all interconnected with every other place in the world through the faith. And so we're more aware of what's going on in the faith around the world. And that's another fruit of it. And we do believe confidently, with reasonable confidence, that mass attendance is either, it's not declining as fast as it was before we went on the air in 2015. Recourse to the sacrament of confession is we are confident it's going up as a result of it. Paying attention to the sacrament of marriage is also going up. More young people, you know, deciding not to live together but to actually get married. That, you know, we hope we're standing in the path of that negative trend and kind of reversing that tide. Just creating more general awareness that there's a Catholic way of life, and it's not that old, really. And it was only just a few decades ago that people took it for granted and saw it in action all around them. And we may have stumbled for a generation or two in transmitting it, but it's still there, and it's still as worthy of our devotion as it ever was. And we're making people more aware of that just by the constant teaching that comes through in the programs that we put on the air.
All righty, thank you very much.
Thank you. And don't forget,
down to five.
Again, thank you, Jerry, and please, again, make sure to speak to Jerry and Bernadette if you have some interest in helping them out or becoming involved in their program. I'm sure they'd be happy to welcome some more folks to provide your help with their ministry. I want to welcome back Olivia for our closing prayer.
We're going to read this one together.
So just sign across for me.
The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A prayer for summer. Let's put ourselves into the hands of the Lord and pray that God will bless us and our families during the wonderful months of summer. May we all help make our home a place of relaxation, joy, love, peace, and safety. May we be generous and considerate, not thinking only about ourselves, but helping others enjoy the blessings of summertime. Lord God, creator of all things, guide our steps and strengthen our hearts during these months of summer and vacation days. Grant us refreshment of mind and body. We ask this through the Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Say it.
My Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Again, I want to thank everyone for coming. We look forward to seeing you here on August 2nd.